Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but large Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
All right, Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR. Happy Easter, everyone. I hope that you've had a really wonderful day of hope and remembrance of that all is not going to stay as bad as it is now. Not that everything's bad. We're going to talk about some really amazing things that have happened this week. But, gosh, Easter is just... Every year I celebrate it, I appreciate it more and more. It's the most overlooked holiday in the culture, but at least in this nation, it should be the most celebrated. There's just so much hope. Our Savior took the penalty for our wrongdoings and rose again today, giving us hope. And as J.R.R. Tolkien said, sad things become untrue. And I think that's the best way to sum up this best day in all of history. Now, I hope that you had a good Easter. I had a great one with my family. I spent the evening having dinner with my parents and my kids. Interesting, my dad flew in Vietnam, and he flew the A-37 bomber. So the topic of dinner was the Moab strike against the terrorists in Afghanistan. And golly, does that not just make you feel good? For 8 years, nothing like that ever happened. Nothing. And not only did terrorists not suffer any consequences for what they were doing, but we had a terrorist enabling, a terrorist embracing president who brought them here, who encouraged them, and who would never take out a one. So when that is, was it a 21,000-pound bomb that struck, the mother of all bombs, struck Afghanistan on, I think it was Thursday, Friday? Wow. We President Trump took out nearly 100 terrorists by last count that I checked. And it, golly, I forgot how good it feels to have some justice in the world. Did you get used to the fact that there just really wasn't justice going on for 8 years? You kind of just, you get used to it, and it's depressing, and you go on, and then suddenly you get this president who we weren't expecting to win, and here he goes. He is doing what he said he was going to do. Last week, I was talking about the Syrian strikes, and I'm still iffy on those. I still would like to see how that is striking at the heart of terrorism. But that's kind of done now. And this second strike against directly against terrorists, John McCain went on one of the morning shows this morning and was semi-praising Trump. But to stay relevant, he likes to say things like, well, we still need a strategy, and he needs to come to Congress, and we need a strategy. Well, that's funny because that's what I was saying a week ago, but it was a different strike a week ago. This week, the strategy, and I mean, none of us know. He's the commander-in-chief. He's strategizing with the generals and doing what they know, what they have the intelligence about and what they know to do. And to me, this is finally, we are finally fighting the war on terror again. I would like to hear Trump say that, but He did give a really good Easter speech this morning. Was it this morning? Friday. Friday weekly address. And golly, he just hit all the points. This is just fabulous news, friends. After 8 years of Obama villainizing and demonizing Christians and just being milquetoast about evil, to hear Trump come on and not only build up our Jewish friends, but be excited about Easter Sunday and lay out the threats and explain why he's, you know, doing what he's doing is just, it's incredible. I'm going to just throughout the show, I've got several clips from that speech. I want to play those for you as we go through the show tonight, not in one big bunch, but I just want to keep sharing with you the wonderful reminder that we have a president who seems to get it as far as protecting this nation, and he seems to get religious freedom. I'm surprised. I'm going to be honest. This is not something I expected from Trump during the campaign and during the election. And I just, you know, I'm all grins about this. Let's hear clip one.
My fellow Americans, this is a season of great hope. This week, Jewish families across our country and around the world celebrate Passover and retell the story of God's deliverance of the Jewish people. The story of the Exodus is a story of freedom. It is a story of an incredible people who were liberated from oppression and raised up the face of humankind. Down through the centuries, the Jewish people have lived through one persecution after another, and yet they persevered and thrived and uplifted the world beyond measure. And now the state of Israel stands as a monument to their faith and endurance.
Bingo, Trump. Thank you. Golly, all we heard before was just how bad Israel is, or they just got ignored. This is awesome. Thank you, President Trump. We're going to go through some more of that speech as the evening goes on, because that's just so good. Yesterday, here in Colorado Springs, there were two rallies. There was an anti-Trump rally that was organized downtown, and it was, they're saying, about 200 anti-Trump protesters who were all worked up because it was April 15th and Trump still hasn't shown us his tax returns. They're so mad. They got 200 people out for that. I was telling my producer before the show starts, you know, just pull one example out of the air, Benghazi. Where was everybody when Hillary, let our guys get brutally murdered at the hands of terrorists? Where were the protesters then? There weren't any. And now they're griping about him not showing his tax returns. I have to tell you, I really think that he needs to bring those tax returns out. But the harder the left pushes the issue, I'm kind of like, you know what? Just keep them under wraps. I don't like what they're doing. So just, you know, for now, keep those returns in an envelope and away from public eyes. It's amazing how the left can push you into that place. But yesterday, there was that rally, and I think that was mid-morning. I did not attend that rally. I was actually working yesterday morning. And then there was a pro-Trump rally at 1 o'clock, and I arrived late, but I did go. I went down there, and I was so pleasantly surprised. I'm guesstimating there were between 100 and 200 people there. It was hard for me to tell for sure. 150 maybe is a good number. And our own Richard Randall was the MC. Did a great job keeping the energy up and keeping people focused and introducing all the speakers, keeping the crowd coming in. And there were protesters. there were protesters at the pro-Trump rally. Of course there were. We knew there would be. They would be there. I sauntered on over just to see who they were, what they look like, and I spent some time chatting with these individuals. Got some of it recorded, and I'm going to share some of that with you. It's quite an interesting interaction that we had at the pro-Trump rally yesterday. More on that in just a moment.
You're listening to the Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR. Depend on it.
All right, give me a call at 719-540-0740 if you want to join the conversation. It's Easter. Happy Easter. I hope you all had a great Easter Sunday. We're talking about the pro-Trump rally yesterday that I went to downtown in Colorado Springs. And I want to comment on the fact that it was a Trump rally. You know I was going to. If you know anything about me, you know I have to say something. I really, really wish the organizers would not call this a pro-Trump rally, because what this devolves into is an argument over a man, and I really don't care to argue over a man. I care to defend and support our constitutional ideas, our constitutional principles, our constitutional republic. I care to defend capitalism, our free markets, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, everything that we are and everything that we believe in. Now, would that have affected turnout? I have no idea. I just know that we've got to be really careful what we are defending. And when we start going to bat for a man because he's president, that gets eerie. So just, you know, if any of the organizers are listening, if it matters, I really would encourage the rallies to stop being about Trump. It gives the left a little bit less ammunition, because then it's not so personal, and it's more about you and me and what we believe in. So that's my two cents on the pro-Trump rally. I was hesitant to go for that reason, but I knew I could make it clear. I'm hung up on that, all right? It's about our Constitution. It's about America. It's about the ideas that made this the most exceptional nation in history. Enough said. Great people were down there. And someone was conversing with me about the numbers and the turnout. And I thought it was great turnout. I've been to nearly every rally in the area since the very first Tea Party, April 15th, 2009. Now, that was awesome. That was a rally about ideas. That was a rally. I think there were thousands of people at the park. I have pictures somewhere. The Acacia Park was full. It was a blob of crowd. The whole park. It was the most amazing, most fun event to be there with folks from all over our region. And we were united about the ideas and about that our Constitution represents. That was amazing. And, of course, the numbers have dwindled since then. But you got to remember something I was saying yesterday. All right, so we had about 200 folks, and it could have been more because I was there for about an hour and 15 minutes. I think the whole rally went on for longer than 2 hours. Richard Randall's probably going to cover that tomorrow morning, so he can give you more of the scoop on that. But there could have been more than 200 folks. I spent most of my time chatting with the anti-Trump protesters. And so my back was turned to the actual event as I was trying to satisfy my curiosity. I'm not sure. My daughter's like, why did you go do that? I'm curious. I see them. They're over there masked, which bugs me to no end, and the cowardice of wearing the mask drives me nuts. So I approached them. First question I had was, why are you wearing masks? And we're going to go into the audio of that in just a minute. But what interested me is the left organized their anti-Trump rallies on our Tea Party tax day anniversary. how original leftists really find your own day to have your anti-Trump rally. And, of course, they pick that because they're trying to base it off of the fact that they want to see Trump's tax returns, which is mostly bogus. That's not a good enough reason to get out and protest, honestly. Because when I talked to the protesters yesterday, they said nothing about the tax returns. So, but as I heard about the rally, the first rally, the actual anti-Trump rally that was in the morning, and then as I talked to the anti-Trump protesters in the afternoon, I with what I know about the organized protesters and the George Soros funding and all of that going on, I'm just thinking, you know, who is paying these guys? Because I just have a really hard time believing that they carry enough conviction to actually get out and do this. Some of them, maybe, some of them need the attention. Some of them are angry. But really, they get about 200 anti-Trump protesters. And my friend was concerned about, you know, why didn't we get just this huge Acacia Park turnout? Well, I think it's just a sign of, number one, people are tired. People are working. People are taking care of families. You know, our crowd does not, number one, take money from George Soros. Number two, we don't take money from anyone to go to these events. Number three, I personally, and I'm sure everyone else, I sacrificed my own time to go to this thing, and I could have been spending time with my daughters at the time, or working, or in any number of other things. So it's the reason that our side goes to these rallies is deeply held convictions. We love what we believe in. And I'll tell you, it's not based out of hatred either. Whereas with these anti-Trump people, it is all rooted in hatred and anger and the victim mentality. And so with all that said, someone was asking me if I was discouraged about the turnout. Absolutely not. I felt it was very significant. We've got a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president. And when you have that in power, the natural tendency for our side is to just take a deep breath, sigh, and relax and slip into a little bit of complacency. I don't agree with it, but it is just the way it goes. So considering we had the turnout we had, I thought it was awesome. I thought Richard did a great job. The organizers did a great job. And here I'll stage this for you. I want to shout out to our local law enforcement. There was a pretty strong presence of Colorado Springs police there. And they looked like they got out, you know, some of their pretty toughest guys. Their presence was there. It was strong. And nobody was going to mess with these guys. And I was totally good with that. Whereas on, you know, throw a stone a couple hundred miles west of us at UC Berkeley, same thing was going on. There was a pro-Trump, it was a Patriots Day rally at Berkeley, and the anti-Trump protesters showed up and literally beat the snot out of pro-Trump people. It was ugly, it was horrible, and I'm going to tell you more about that in a little bit. As far as I know, 21 people got arrested. And I saw a report that the local law enforcement really didn't do anything. You don't want to believe that, but I will find as much as I can about that. But back here in the Springs, it was our local law enforcement. I can tell you, they're not going to let any of this nasty stuff fly. They were awesome, and I can tell you with absolute certainty, they made yesterday's event safe. The protesters were actually, I don't know how they organized it, but the protesters were in one, looks like, designated location. And it was a little bit comical because they were standing behind about a 10-foot chain, and that was it. They stayed there. So to their credit, they obediently stayed there. They didn't have a lot of choice because the law enforcement was there. But they were standing kind of behind the, is it called the Shell Dome or the Half Dome at Acacia Park? And I just couldn't stand them, you know, with their masks. It drives me crazy. They dress in black from head to toe. Almost all of them had a bandana around the tops of their head, bandana around their face, black shirts, long sleeve shirts, black jeans, black shoes, and many of them had black sunglasses on. So you really couldn't see anything, and maybe except maybe their hands. And I'm just standing there thinking, why do they think they can? Why? So I took the liberty of approaching them and asking them, do we have time to play the first clip? All right, we're going to play just a little bit of my first encounter with these guys yesterday. My first question is, why are you wearing masks?
I like that hat too.
So why do you guys wear masks?
So we don't get fired.
So you don't get what?
Fired.
And so we don't get targeted by far-right hate groups.
So you don't get fired?
I'm a firefighter EMT. I can't be here.
So our families and ourselves don't get targeted by far-right hate groups?
Happens.
Who are the far-right hate groups?
When there's various neo-Nazi groups across the country.
Richard Spencer's the most famous example.
Yeah.
And you think they would look at your face and then come target you?
Yeah, they've already done it.
They already
have them. Yeah. They released the faces of our friends online. Not too long ago.
And which groups are they?
They released it on Breitbart News.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Breitbart News.
So you're all afraid
Jesus
of
was a communist! Far-right.
Jesus
we're not
was
afraid
of
protecting ourselves. There's a difference.
Yeah, there's your song.
Jesus was a communist!
The same people who think that they have the
okay.
right to
Let's
say...
Let's cut that for now, Jason. All right, we'll come back to that. So... this was quite interesting. As you can hear, I was not being antagonistic. That's not my point when I talk to these people. That's how it started. I really just wanted to know why they're hiding behind their masks. And you heard the answer. They're afraid they're going to get fired. Or they're going to get targeted by these alt-right hate groups. Well, which groups? Breitbart News? Breitbart News doesn't target They take news items from all over the internet and they repost them. So we're going to be sharing more. And it got fun, I guess you could say. So became an arguing with idiots scenario, and I knew that going into it. But I'll explain more.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right. Happy Easter. It is Easter Sunday. And I'm at 719-540-0740. This is Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR. I am here to tell you what big media won't. And big media is not going to tell you what I talked about yesterday with the anti-Trump protesters. But before we get to that, I still want to continue with President Trump's Easter address on Friday. Let's do clip two.
Another day of faith and celebration is also upon us. This Easter Sunday, Christians celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the promise of eternal salvation. It is a holy day of reverence and worship. It is a sacred time that fills the spirit of our nation with the faith of our people. America is a nation of believers.
Amen. Thank you, President Trump. I gotta tell you, I spent probably... A time flew. I spent at least 20 minutes with these protesters yesterday, maybe up to 30. I'm not sure. My phone ran out of memory. So some of this, the stuff at the end, I'm going to just tell you about. But I want you to get a taste for what these protesters are like. Now, obviously, I probably wouldn't approach them if I'd been at UC Berkeley, where there were probably hundreds of them. These guys, there were 15-ish, 20-ish. The Gazette said there were 25. I didn't quite see that many. Maybe they were there and then they left. But yeah, and I asked them how old they were. They told me that the youngest person there was 18. One of the guys told me he was 22. And as you heard in last segment, my opening question was, why are you wearing masks? You know, Of course I know. It's a cowardly thing to do. It's what they do to try to intimidate. Wearing all black, they want to look intimidating and scary. And they claim that it's because they didn't want to get fired from their jobs and that their employers would fire them. And what was the other one? They'd get fired. Oh, they'd be targeted by alt-right hate groups, specifically Breitbart News. Really? So they were very, very identity-oriented. These were socialists. They are not liberals. They are not communists. They are not fascists. Ooh, they hate fascists. In one of the clips, I asked them to please define what a fascist is. You're going to be surprised. And I was not antagonistic. I will tell you that. I like to get people talking in these situations and just kind of let them, as my producer said, hang themselves. I like to get them talking. They reveal a lot about themselves once they start talking. And then I'm able to ask questions, and that's when things get kind of ugly because my questions kind of make them think, and they don't like that. So let's go continue on with the second cut that I cut off, Jason. Just pick up where we left off. Okay, cut that for just a second. All right, you hear what they're saying. Here it is, Easter Sunday. I really felt like I had to take a shower after I was talking to these guys. I wanted to bleach my ears, bleach my brain. It was a little dark corner of Acacia Park, I'll be honest with you. When I got home and saw my kids, it was just, oh my gosh, a breath of fresh air. It honestly, I started counting my blessings when I drove home. Like, oh, I love all my friends. They're so wonderful because you're immersed in these people are very hate. They're full of hatred. And isn't it funny that they call conservatives hateful and bigoted and sexist and racist? These guys are all of that and then some. But anyway, little side point there. Let's continue with the cut.
Who think that they have the right to say racist and misogynistic things think that we don't have the right to say exactly what we're saying. So they would target us and have our jobs fire us for it or contact our educational institutions to try and have us never seek punitive action.
All right, so they're so afraid they're going to lose their jobs. They're so afraid they're going to get targeted. And I kept asking them questions. I'm not sure if it's in that clip or not. You know, what's happened? Who are these groups? And they could never answer the question. They want to know who I was, though. And they want to know everything about me. And, you know, I don't really care. The first guy that I was talking to, unfortunately, my phone cut out. The first guy I was talking to who said that he was afraid he would get fired. He was a protester at the Dakota Access Pipeline. And if you recall, the mess, the trash that was left up there at that protesting site was beyond horrific. I think it was something like 250 truckloads of trash needed to be hauled out before it all thawed. I heard that a body was found in that mess. Dogs were left to fend for themselves. It was nasty, disgusting, and the protesters just left. So I asked this young man, I said, well, do you care about the environment? And yeah, of course we do. And I said, well, if you were a protester up there, why did you leave all the trash? Oh, he blamed it on the liberals. I said, oh, the liberals left the trash, but you didn't? Well, what are you? Oh, yeah, he's a socialist. So this group was a group of socialists. They're in, and they hate fascists, and they hate imperialists, and they hate capitalists more than anybody. And they don't identify with anybody but socialists. And so I asked him, why didn't you stay behind? He, you know, blamed it on someone else. Then one of the girls came over and said, well, it was the U.S. Army Corps. They made that mess. Okay. Anyway, he finally admitted that he would get arrested if he had stayed to clean up the trash. So I asked him, I said, so the cause isn't important enough to you to stay behind? It's more important that you don't get arrested? And he actually agreed. Yeah. So my relationship with him began to devolve after that little part of the conversation. And I was not as liked as I was prior to that part of the conversation. But anyway, let's move on to next cut. Jason, I I walked away. I told him, you know, I said, you know, you guys can say what you want. And then I came back and wanted to know more about what they stood for. So I think this one starts that clip.
Jesus was a communist.
The same people who continually argue for speech. Like,
another one. That's
freedom.
Protect your identity. From like me?
No, like Trump. Lawyers or schools.
Trump is a tool. A Wall Street tool.
We talk to protest the way
Wall Street tool.
Trump is a tool.
A Wall Street tool.
So you have a private employer who might fire you for protesting?
Maybe some of us.
Maybe you need to find an employer who supports free speech.
Maybe.
It's too hot. All right.
Okay.
You have a right to say what you want to say.
All right, so cut that one. So that was pretty much the intro. I'm sure that given the opportunity, these guys would probably be as riotous and destructive as the protesters over in Berkeley. They just had such a small group, and we have such good law enforcement here that they had no, absolutely no chance to do that. Absolutely none. But I got schooled on, here are some of the finer points of the conversation that they shared with me. I asked them about Venezuela. You know, if you're so big on socialism, how do you feel about Venezuela? Well, the answer was, Venezuela was a socialist country until capitalism came in and destroyed it. And that's why people are standing in food lines in Venezuela. Okay. I said, are you a hero of Fidel Castro? Oh, absolutely. We're heroes. He's a hero. And what goes on in Cuba is because of the trade embargo. So it has absolutely nothing to do with the governing system. Absolutely not. So, I mean, it was just this over and over and over and over and over again. The next clip, the brand new one, they hate capitalism. That really seemed to be the biggest beef that they had. I want you to hear this. Are you ready with that one, Jason? Where he's talking about he wants to work. Okay, we're not ready with that one. All right, we're going to come back to that. Just to keep things interesting, I'm going to switch subjects here while we get that cut going. The Independent Journal Review interviewed Sergeant Rudy Reyes, or Rise. I'm afraid I'm butchering his name. R-E-Y-E-S. That's his last name. Sergeant Rudy Reyes. He's a veteran and recon Marine who served multiple tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. And IJR interviewed him because they wanted to know what kind of effect the big Moab bomb, 21,000-pound bomb that hit ISIS, what kind of effect that has on this war. I loved his response. This is a guy who's been there. He was part of the 1st Recon Battalion. He helped take down al-Qaeda in Kandahar, and he helped lead the invasion of Iraq shoulder to shoulder with his brothers in arms. And there were four main points that he highlighted about the single bomb that we dropped in Afghanistan. He said there was a tactical victory. And he said the reason it was a tactical victory is because it was an airburst with a concussive force, so it rocks and shakes the ground like an earthquake. Destroys the ability for ISIS to use their tunnels. If they have munitions or any kind of logistics, it's all inoperable now. And then he said, aside from that, the most profound victory is the psychological victory. So first, he said, tactically, it was an excellent attack. Psychologically, he said, basically, this is a tribal culture. They are so attached to Allah that they're imagining a godlike power dropping this bomb over them and completely destroying their ability to wage war. And now they know that without impunity, we can continue to drop more. That's because we have a president who's looking out for us. So Sergeant Rice says, this is a culture where very few can read and write, and this is like a godlike power to them. So psychologically, it devastated these people. He said, when these terrorists see this godlike destruction posted all over mainstream media that was brought down on them from the United States, It kills their will to fight. And that's how you win wars, my friends. So I'm all for this.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR.
Okay, give me a call at 719-540-0740. Mark on Facebook is helping me out immensely here if I was to be paying attention. He's telling me that the way I pronounce Sergeant Rudy's last name is Reyes. Right, Mark? I'm thinking that's right. So that's not one that I had thought about pronouncing. So Sergeant Reyes is the guy that I'm reading his words about the Moab strike. And so first, Sergeant Reyes was interviewed by Independent Journal Review about the effects of the mother of all bombs on nearly 100 terrorists last week, the 21,000-pound bomb. He said it was a tactical victory because it shakes the earth like an earthquake and destroys all their munitions, whatever were in there. Plus, it kills 94 of them, 96, however many. The psychological victory, he said, is the most profound because this is a people who's obviously very tuned into Allah, and they are all of a sudden seeing Allah raining down a bomb on them from the sky, and it shakes them to the core to hear all over the place that all of a sudden Allah let this bomb take them out. So it according to Sergeant Reyes, he says it kills their will to fight. That's the key of every war we fight, whether it's an actual war with bombs or whether it's an ideological verbal battle, just over the mainstream media. When you and I give up our will to fight for what is right, that's when the left wins. So we can never give up. We are the ones who have to stand strong and not let them push us over. We never can give up. And the military guys know this, especially this Sergeant Reyes. He said also, this is a blow to their recruiting efforts. This just kind of dampens the enthusiasm for ISIS to do any more recruiting. And then, of course, my favorite is he said it kills terrorists. He says Al-Qaeda doesn't adhere to any rules. Human life is nothing to them. He said, while we may have to leverage somebody with some pain or waterboard them to get information, they're going the other route, burning your genitals with a hot piece of steel and cutting off your head. So it's a whole other level. I had no problem killing them, said Sergeant Reyes. He said, for these cave complexes and these very remote areas, I think the Moab is the perfect solution. Drop more of these Moabs and crush ISIS. Yes. Thank you, Sergeant Reyes, for sharing that. And thank you for IJR for conducting that interview. There was no audio that I could find on that, so I had to read it to you, which is not how I like to do it. I'm going to go back to my interview, chat, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. Mark on Facebook got a little bit perturbed when he heard them chanting that Jesus was a communist. Me too, Mark. I had a hard time even playing that, but I feel like my listeners needed to hear it. It should make us angry. It should make us angry. And that's why it was such a dirty place to be. It was it was offensive. It was dark. And of course he's not. And that's part of what these people stand for. And yes, it needs to be stood up to. And so we have that audio. No, we're going to do that at the top of the hour. We're going to do the rest of that audio at the top of the hour. So I want to talk some more about the war. We have some audio from Maxine Waters, and there's always something from Maxine Waters. And I'm just going to let you hear what she has to say about Trump and what's going on here, because she seems to think that Trump's starting a war.
He appears to be using the military to threaten, to basically almost start a war. We don't know what's going to happen over on that peninsula. If he was thinking correctly about this, he would want the support of Congress. But of course, he doesn't deserve to be president in the first place.
Oh, my. Well, Maxine, he is president and he's commander in chief. And guess what? We were already at war. Okay, he's got the guts and the mind to know that we were already at war. So, no, he's not starting war. And that's something driving me crazy. It you're even hearing it from a little bit on the GOP that Trump's starting a war. He's not starting a war. If he's going after terrorists, he's finishing the war that was waged against us on 9/11. Finally. So it feels good. And he doesn't deserve to be president. I saw a video someone made, 5 reasons Maxine Waters needs to be president. I did not download it for your enjoyment because it was really, really dumb. But yeah, so that's what's going on out there with that. And there's more going on in the War Department. We've got a ship heading over to the North Korea area. And we're being followed by, according to Japan, we're being followed by Russia and I think it was Iran. They want to know what we're doing and what we're up to. I guess, you know, that's normal. But we've got a chubby little dictator communist over in North Korea who's constantly playing war games against us, throwing missiles up in the sky, tempting us, daring us, and went for the suicide option this weekend, went ahead and launched another missile against our warnings that if you do, we're going to take care of you. And boom, it exploded in his face, basically. I don't know exactly what happened to the missile, but when, let's see if I can say, Kim Jong-un launched his missile Saturday morning, it failed. And I don't know where it failed, but I was kind of hoping it might have failed back on him. Haven't heard word that that's happened either. But we've got to be concerned, though. He has been working on trying getting missiles that can reach the U.S., as has Iran for a long time. And something's come to the surface again, or at least it's not come to the surface. We're talking about it again. The very real potential being attacked by not only a nuclear weapon, but an EMP that would attack our grid. And that's something that's always been a concern to me. Nuclear is bad enough. EMP's its own batch of bad because it just has to detonate in the sky above us. And any of you who are listening out there who are experts on this, go ahead and call me and help me explain this. But I'm seeing that the Pentagon is now taking steps to protect our communications and our power lifeline, our grid. Former CIA Director James Woolsey has been warning for years that the grid is extremely vulnerable. And recently, the Pentagon is starting to take steps. Now, were they taking steps to protect it with Obama? I don't know. Obama didn't care about that kind of a thing happening to us. But I want to play some more of President Trump's Friday Easter address before we cut out at the top of the hour here for a short break. Let's go with cut 3.
From the beginning, America has been a place that has cherished the freedom of worship. That is the promise the first settlers saw in our vast continent. And it is the promise that our bravest warriors have protected for all of our citizens in centuries since. A long time ago. Sadly, many around the globe do not enjoy this freedom. And one of the gravest threats to religious freedom remains the threat of terror.
Wow. Trump is telling us what the truth is. He's telling the truth. We haven't heard this in forever. He cherishes the freedom of worship in this country, and he understands that one of the gravest threats to religious freedom remains a threat of terror. It's not just religious freedom, but that is a key component. He gets it, my friends. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR. Depend on it.
All right, we're back at AM 740. Call me at 719-540-0740. Dawn, I lost you. If you want to give me a call back anytime soon, we will get you back on the air and find out what your feedback is tonight. Give me a call. You can join. If you didn't know it, you can actually download a KVOR app to your mobile device. I think that is great because then you're not tied to anything. And if you're like me, my phone goes everywhere with me, and then you won't miss a bit of the Michelle Morin Show. I'm here to tell you what big media won't. And there is something I do want to share. I don't know if big media is covering this or not. There's a guy in Ohio who has gone on a rampage today. This is horrific. He put on the Facebook live stream and went and killed an elderly man live in Cleveland. He's at large. He's armed. He's been talking about doing it again. They are saying that his vehicle is a Ford Fusion. It's white, and it has a temporary tag, a temporary Ohio tag, E363630. Just, you know, we're in Colorado, that's Ohio, but you know what? I'm going to do my part to try to stop the killing, and this guy is on a spree. So, this is, it's horrific. I'm sure you have heard about that. All right, so yesterday I was at the Trump rally, the pro-Trump rally. I was talking to some of the protesters. I asked myself why I was doing it, and I originally went over because I wanted to find out why they were wearing masks. I wanted to hear it from them. And found out that they're afraid to get fired from their jobs, and they're afraid that the far-right hate groups are going to come after them and report them to their employers and to the educational institutions and plaster their faces everywhere, including Breitbart News. So, and when I asked them specifically, has this happened? Oh, yes, yes, yes. You get this multitude chorus. Yes, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. So I try to stay away from the whole arguing with idiots scenario, and I realized I was walking into that. But things are so different now than when I first started doing this type of thing. Protesters that would show up to Tea Party events back in 2009, 2010, 2011, they were not organized. And if they were, they were loosely organized. They were not dressed in black. They didn't wear they didn't cover themselves from head to toe. They didn't try to look scary and intimidating and masked. And that's what Obama brought to us. Obama fundamentally transformed this nation, and he and the left successfully turned the ideological battle into something much more intense, something much more serious. And it borders on, well, I'm not going to say it borders on violence. It was downright violent at Berkeley yesterday. You know, here I am yesterday in the Springs talking to these protesters while at the same time in Berkeley, Trump supporters were getting beat up, kicked. It was horrific. There is video out there. And I don't know where the law enforcement was in Berkeley. That's a big question mark for me. I saw some video of police officers out there not doing anything, and they kind of acted like their hands were tied. I don't know the story there, and I'm not going to get into that. I just do know that our local law enforcement here in Colorado Springs, wow, their presence was, they weren't, you know, militant. There weren't a whole bunch of them, but they had a strong presence, and they weren't going to put up with any guff and anything that was going to jeopardize the safety of the people that were gathered at Acacia Park yesterday. So shout out to CSPD. Thank you for being there and for keeping things under tight control. All right. A little bit of a side note here. Speaking of the millennials, I'm going to botch another name here. This is a university in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is really embarrassing. Duquesne University? I hope I did that right. Chick-fil-A is going to be moving onto or near that university. And all the leftists on campus are in an uproar because Chick-fil-A does not make them feel safe. Chick-fil-A has a questionable history on civil and human rights, said the student senator, Nico Martini. He said, I think it's imperative that the university chooses to do business with organizations that coincide with the university's mission and expectations they give students regarding diversity and inclusion. Another student said, I've tried really hard within the last semester and a half to promote the safe environment for LGBTQ+. And I fear that with Chick-fil-A, people are going to feel it's that safe place is at risk. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Chick-fil-A is such a threat. When you go to Chick-fil-A, do you get the grouchy people who are threatening you? Absolutely not. It's the friendliest restaurant in town. But the left can't handle that, so they're trying to stop that from happening anywhere and everywhere. And the reason why is we've got millennials that are like the youths, the young adults I talked to yesterday. I want to continue with some of the audio from yesterday. And this part of the audio, I walked away. I talked to them at first, found out why they were wearing masks. I walked away and thought, you know, I really want to find out. Let's engage some more. Like I said, I'm not antagonistic with these people. I don't have a need to be. I like to listen to them talk. And, you know, I really want to find out where they're coming from. And we'll just let it speak for itself here.
So having a dictatorial business is the root cause. We want democratically owned businesses. We want the people to own the businesses so that a few people cannot make decisions. That is the staple of democracy.
So what, how do you define fascism?
Nationalism. And hate towards other groups. So hate towards Mexicans, hate towards Muslims, which is all, it's very low-key in this country, but it is very, very, very present. They won't say it directly, like we hate
Okay, so you heard his definition of fascism. You know, when you see these rioters and protesters, they're all about hating fascism, and they're breaking out windows in restaurants because they hate fascism. And I asked him, what is fascism? And you heard him. Well, it's a hatred of Muslims and a hatred of Mexico. It's hatred, 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 hatred. Yeah, I just let him talk. I wasn't going to try to school him. I wasn't really interested in the tit for tat, and some of that went on, and it just absolutely goes nowhere. I want to let you hear some more of what the martyr had to say.
So what is America in your mind right now?
America.
I mean, is it one of these?
America is all of these. We're imperialistic. A lot of us are.
A lot of Americans are fascists.
Stop.
All right, did you hear that brilliant shout out? If you put a dress on a Nazi, it's still a Nazi. These are some of the brightest we've got, folks.
And what are you?
I'm a socialist.
Okay.
So we want the people to own the businesses. Like, for example, on a small scale, company like cooperatives.
Okay.
You know,
communism.
So we want every person in that company to be able to make a decision on how much they pay or how much they make, what they sell, what they do, what their jobs are, because then
he wants to be
you
owned.
won't have businesses being shipped overseas because the people as a collective would lose their jobs.
Stop. Did he just parrot President Trump? He doesn't want jobs shipped overseas, but he hates Trump so badly? We're going to come back to that in a minute. I was there a while, and I actually developed, you know, a pretty warm relationship with these guys. They actually invited me to come to one of their local socialist monthly meetings. And one of the guys was very sweet and very eager, not the one you heard. He ran off to get me a card to show me where they were going to meet and came back, thought better of it, and gave me a copy of the Socialist Manifesto instead. So I have a little gift here that I came home with yesterday, and I've got this Socialist Manifesto, and it's these people parrot everything in here. This is what they read. This is what they say. If you ask them where they learn this stuff, they get really mad. I asked them several times, where do you learn this? But we're not going to tell you. We learned it at school. We learned it in a sociology class. They don't want to reveal it. It's really sad, my friends. These are, this is what's going on out in the millennial world.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right, I'm here to tell you what big media won't. Happy Easter. Give me a call at 719-540-0740 if you have any thoughts you want to contribute, if you were at the rally yesterday, if you heard anything in my conversation with these guys that strikes a chord with you, give me a call. going to deviate just a second here. The left has compiled a list of the top 30 world's most beautiful women of 2017. Isn't it kind of as a woman, maybe I'm out of my element saying this, but I've heard guys say that liberal women are not. I'm not going to go there. I won't go there. The top 30 world's most beautiful women of 2017. So they've got, I printed out all of them, and I've got little thumbnails, and some of them are actually very pretty. Some. But guess who number six, the sixth most beautiful woman of 2017. This is not a joke. If you want to verify it, go to buzznet.com. Maybe it's a satire site. I don't know. It doesn't look like it. It looks like an entertainment site to me. But if you can discredit it, go right ahead. Number six, drum roll please, is Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's the sixth most beautiful woman of 2017. Number 21 is Michelle Obama. I noticed the picture they used of Michelle Obama. She's growing out her hair, and it's strikingly similar to Melania's hairdo, which is so weird. So anyway, that's just something weird about the left that I wanted to share with you. So back to yesterday. I got gifted a copy of the Socialist Manifesto, and the protesters pretty much parrot everything in it. I think they memorize it, because if I read through it, I can just hear them saying it. And here they talk in it's an outline. The great myths of capitalism: labor creates all wealth. This is truly just a Marxist manifesto. How to get there? They've got three steps of how to get there. Three methods by which most socialists see a path to creating the economy for which they advocate. Number one, through the ballot box. Number two, by creating structures that combat capitalism within the capitalist economy. And number three, open revolt. And they say each of these has its own appeal and its own challenges. They start analyzing each one. They say that the process that's most foreign is creating an undercurrent of systems that antagonize our capitalist economy from within. And you know how they do that? They grow their own food. They want to have backyard gardens and keep livestock like chickens and goats in suburban and urban areas. All right? So that's how they're going to antagonize capitalist economy. Secondly, they want to turn it through voting, but they can't get enough people. And thirdly, they want to prepare for violence. They just come right out and say it. At the very end of the section, their last sentence is, prepare for violence, grow a garden, start a union, and vote your conscience. Oh my gosh. So these people are not afraid to use violence, as we saw in Berkeley. And I'm sure that the ones that I talked to yesterday aren't really afraid to use it either. They were afraid yesterday because there was a police presence there. They were horribly outnumbered. And I don't think Colorado Springs is going to let that happen here. It's going to be shut down pretty quickly. But I asked the martyr, why did I call this guy the martyr? Because he kept insisting that life was harder for him than it is for me. He just kept insisting that he works so hard, and it's so hard to make a living and go to school and all this yada, yada, yada. And obviously life's so good for me, knows nothing about me. And I actually said, do you want to be a bigger martyr than I am? That really made him a little bit mad. But let's go on with some of the conversation here.
All this. Variety of sources. I'm not one of the smarter ones, actually. I'm just a firefighter EMT. I'm sick of working for minimum wage. I basically have the option of working a minimum wage job. I'm 22, so I have the options for my career of working a minimum wage job or going to college and being $60,000+ in debt and paying off that college for the rest of my life. Those are my options in a system where inflation is increasing. So, and right now China has its balls on
okay.
our...
So he goes into, he only has two options. He can go to college, drive up debt, or he can work a minimum wage job. I tested him on that a little bit, asked him if he could, you know, maybe start his own business. He had every excuse in the world, yada, 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 yada. And, yeah, it was, It was quite an experience. So that's my experience. I might share a little bit more of that. But let's come back to some of the great things that are going on in the country right now. Senator Sessions, not a senator anymore, he is going to close our border. In fact, our borders are effectively closed since Trump came to office. Did you know that the illegal crossings have dropped? They've dropped about, 90? Let's see. Let me find my numbers here. Borders, Department of Homeland Security is saying that around 16,000 people were apprehended illegally crossing in December when Obama was still president. Guess how many were caught in March? Only 1,100. That is a huge drop. That's a decline in crossings of about 93%. Why is that? Oh, because we've got a president who's not going to put up with it anymore. So we're finally on the path making this country safe again, protecting our sovereignty, protecting our borders. And we've got hope here, my folks. It's Easter Sunday, and I want to focus on that in the last little bit that we have here. Sessions, I want you to hear what he had to say about our border. We're going to go into that a little bit when we get back, but he's basically made the announcement the border's not open anymore. Not open anymore. And boy, is he taking flack for that, just like we're taking flack for all our capitalism and all of that jazz. How much time do we have left, Jason? Okay, we do have time. I want you to hear what Sessions said about the border. Let's pull out clip one.
And the biggest difference is the message Donald Trump's election sent and his leadership, which is this border is not open. If you come to America, come lawfully, don't come unlawfully. And that's already, I think, a huge factor in the decline in the attempts to enter America. So we're on this virtuous cycle where you have a decline in attempts to enter America. We had March was the lowest month in 17 years.
Right.
And it was 72% below President Obama's last month in office. This is a really a remarkable alteration.
All right. He got different numbers than I did. He got 72% drop. I found a 93% drop. I got that from the Daily Wire. That was according to DHS. So it doesn't matter. It's still very, very good. And he goes on to talk about the gangs that we're combating. MS-13 has come into this country, and that's a pretty big deal. These are it's a ruthless gang, and one of these times I'm going to have someone on here to talk more about it. I think it's going on around us, and we're not completely aware. There was a bizarre murder that happened here, two murders that happened here in Colorado, just outside of the Springs, and I can't help but wonder if that's what was involved. But Sessions talks about that as well.
We're going to go after them. We can defeat those gangs. In 2006 or 2007, MS-13 was severely damaged. Its murders and crimes were way down. Mm-hmm. But they've come back over the last decade, and we can do it again. We are going to do it again. They need to know right now we're coming after you and other gangs too. But the MS-13 is a particularly violent gang group, and it does need to be stopped, and we can do it. And then we're going to deport them after they've been convicted and served their time, and it's not going to be so easy to get back in the country.
All right. We're going to deport them. Yes, we are. And the left is not liking that one bit. I'm going to share some of that with you in a little bit. We're almost out of time for that. But yeah, so we've got hope, and we've got border crossings are minimizing. And did you know that Trump is actually peeling back some of the gun regulations? I don't know if you're aware of it. Breitbart did a little compilation of this. Think about this. On February 28th, Trump signed the repeal of that Social Security gun ban. that allowed Social Security to take away rights of beneficiaries. And then the Interior Secretary Zink took out that lead ammunition ban for federal lands and waters. And then another one, the repeal of another ban, the Obama-era gun ban for military veterans, that's heading to get repealed in Congress. And this is all awesome news on this Easter Sunday. Things are happening. We're bombing ISIS, rolling back the executive orders and the Obama gun control attacks against us. Things are looking so much better for us on this Easter Sunday.
You're listening to the Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR.
All right. Call me at 719-540-0740 if you want to join the conversation. I have all night been going through a chat that I had with the anti-Trump protesters at the pro-Trump rally yesterday here in Colorado Springs. And it was funny. It was disturbing. I felt like I needed to go bleach my ears afterwards. But I just really want you all to know, I want you to know who's behind the masks. I think that's why I did that. I don't think the guys in Berkeley are any different than the ones here in the Springs. The Springs just were they weren't big enough, and we have awesome law enforcement that we're not going to let anything get out of control yesterday. They were going to keep our citizens safe. The bottom line of these people is they're not educated. As much as they wanted to try to school me on the benefits of socialism that don't exist, it was really sad that they're angry, they're hateful. I do want to share with you the last conversation I had with them, what broke the camel's back and ended everything. The main topic that they hated is the capitalism. That's just the evil of all evils to these people. And I heard enough, and I decided I'm going to start asking some questions. You know, I wasn't trying to be antagonistic. I just wanted to ask questions. So I asked one of them. One was real quiet. Of course, you know, covered head to toe. Couldn't even see his eyes behind his sunglasses. That bugs me. So I looked right through his sunglasses, and I said, "Hey, let me ask you a question. Let's just say that you have poured your heart and soul into creating a widget, some widget. You've put a little bit of money into this. You've put a little bit of time into this, and you've invested yourself in it, and you're ready to sell your widget and, you know, make something from this, you know, make some kind, you know, make money." Money's like a bad word, so I was trying to think of a way to rephrase it. So I said, "So you've got your widget, and I've got $10 cash, and I really like your widget, and it's worth $10 to me. So, I'm going to give you $10 cash, and I'm going to take your widget. So now you have $10 cash, and I've just bought this widget that you've put yourself into, and I felt like it was worth $10. It was something of value to you. Now it's something of value to me, and I have it." Okay. So I asked him. I said, "Now since you're the one holding the cash, do you have an advantage over me since I'm only holding this widget?" Ooh, wow. That was the end of everything. The martyr, the main guy who you heard, told the personal insults just came out of the bottom of the barrel. "Well, you're just not very intelligent. That's a really stupid example. Are you not capable of using a real business example?" And I said, "You know, this is an example. This is the simplest level of free trade capitalism. And I'm just curious. Can you answer the question? Do you have an advantage because you've got the cash?" They wouldn't answer it, and it just went to the pit from there. And that was the end. As I walk away, you know, they're yelling at me, "You just can't handle it." So, anyway, that was the end. But they call themselves socialists, just socialists. And they're not liberals. They're not liberals. They're not communists. They're socialists. Well, They're a little Marxist is what they are, which is communism, which is just another, you know, way. It's just an evolution of socialism goes to communism. And no, we can't get to communism because it's supposed to be this perfect utopian environment where everybody is equal and yada, yada, yada. Well, let's just kind of diverge into some of the real communism in the world. This one, sit down for this one. This is what happens when communists take over. In China, there's a shortage of toilet paper. There's a shortage of toilet paper. Do you know why there's a shortage of toilet paper? It's because the government regulates every stinking thing they possibly can. I know they've kind of gone the capitalist route on some things, but clearly they haven't let go of the toilet paper market, and there's a shortage. So what happens when there's a shortage of an essential item in a country, in a community, in a culture? What happens if you need toilet paper and you can't buy it? What do? Well, you steal it. So that's what's happening in China. People are finding toilet paper rolls and stealing it. They're stealing it out of public parks. They're stealing it out of, you know, public bathrooms and parks and the like. So, like every good communist country, they come up with a solution to the crisis they've created. So, how do you think you handle your citizenry stealing toilet paper? Think. Oh, I know. Let's put cameras on every stall and do facial recognition photography. And as long as the person's face is recognized, we'll let them in the stall, and the little toilet dispenser will dispense 2 feet of toilet paper. My producer's looking at me like I'm crazy and I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. He can't handle it anymore. He's going to have to say something. Jason, what's up?
Wouldn't it cost more to do all of that than to just get toilet paper?
You would think, but communists must regulate everything.
And then on top of that, 2 feet?
2 feet.
Personally, that's a lot for me. I don't know how much you use, but 2 feet is a lot.
Okay, well, in case it's not enough, you can get more than 2 feet of toilet paper here, but there's a catch. You have to wait 9 minutes.
Really? There's a time limit? Do I have to go back out and look
No, you don't have to go back.
So what if I just camped out all day, like all day just taking my 2 feet at a time?
It didn't say that. It just said if you need another 2 feet, you get to wait 9 minutes. So I'm not making this up. Go to theblaze.com.
Well, I'm going to move to China and start selling toilet paper. I'm just going to camp out in a stall
yes.
for all day and just pull my 2 feet.
That's right. Well, you can ask your price for toilet paper in China. So there's your communist tip for the day. Yeah, you may have to wait 9 minutes. So I'm not kidding, my friends. This is where these guys at Acacia Park yesterday were, you know, this is the end-all, be-all is when the government regulates your usage of toilet paper. I asked these guys, I said, tell me about Venezuela. You know, you guys are socialists. You love socialism. Tell me what you think about Venezuela. Oh, Venezuela? What's wrong with Venezuela? Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? I said, well, all the people are waiting in food lines to get food because they can't get food because socialism failed them. Oh, no. What they said was socialism didn't fail. So it was working. Capitalism came in and destroyed the socialism. This is the people who are rioting against America. Yeah. And thank God not all millennials are like this. I know they're not, and I know it's not the majority. We're shedding a lot of light on the idiots because they're the noisiest, squeakiest wheels, and they do get the most attention, as we're finding out on college campuses all across the country. If I had brought this little toilet paper article or asked them about it, they would have told me I was lying. There is just no arguing with these people. That's why I don't argue. I just ask questions. I'm not going to argue. They think I'm arguing when I ask them questions, but I'm really just asking them, you know, insightful questions. I want to know what they think about, you know, widgets and all that jazz. So, yeah, in Venezuela, they can't get out of their socialist trap. I did a little bit more research on that today. They can't get out of the trap because nobody wants to let go of their power. So the people just suffer. And It is the most oil-rich nation that I know of. It should be the most prosperous nation. It used to be one of the most prosperous nations. They're importing American oil because they can't afford to drill their own. And I did actually slip into those guys yesterday. I think you should go live in Venezuela for a year. Oh, yeah, you know, they balk at that. And this is what we're up against. It. What do we do with this, my friends? What do we do with this? Do we start having closed rallies so that they can't disrupt it? No, we don't do that. Do we stoop to their level and push back? I know at Berkeley yesterday, from everything I read, there were pro-Trump people who actually came in to defend against the anti-Trump protesters. That's getting really dicey, and people are getting very badly hurt. 21 people were arrested. I think 9 people went to the hospital, and there was one more statistic. I'll find that. It was bad. It was ugly. There's a video of them just brutally beating a Trump supporter. This can't go on, my friends, but this is what Obama gave us. This is 8 years of fundamental transformation. Mark messaged me and, you know, he said it started with Occupy, which had the blessing of Obama, Pelosi and friends and company. But that's where we are. And this war that's going on, we've got so many wars going on. We've got the war against Islamic terrorism. It really is a war against the Islamic idea, the Sharia, the Sharia law, the jihad that's against us. And Trump is taking action against it. Now, where this goes from here, nobody knows, but we have to stand up and fight. We can't roll over. And then we've got the leftists in our own country. They're at the cusp. They're already at violence in Berkeley. And they want to use violence against us to enforce their socialist ideas upon the rest of us. What do we do with this? That's always going to be the question I'm asking. We're going to combat this, my friends. We're going to combat it together. And I don't have all the answers. That's what you are here for. We're going to figure this out. So, there's a church in Denver called the Elevationists. It's a cannabis church. I'll tell you about that in just a minute.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right, so we talked about the pitfalls of communism. You're going to get your picture taken before you go into a bathroom stall so that you can actually get 2 feet of toilet paper dispensed. And then if you need more, you wait 9 minutes. Let's come back to Colorado where pot is legal. And there's a 113-year-old church in Denver. It's called the International Church of Cannabis. And it's going to open on April 20th, 420. That's the unofficial annual marijuana holiday. This is from the cannabis.co. And I just thought this was funny. They're going to call themselves the Elevationists. Makes sense, right? They're calling it a unique community for those who consume cannabis as a means to achieving self-discovery. And they claim no theology or authoritarian structure. And their goal is creating the best version of themselves. They believe that cannabis accelerates and deepens that process. There you have it. I guess they have a few legal hurdles they need to get through if they can do this. But it looks like it's mostly going forward, and that's their plan. So, yeah, we've got churches where you can go get high and become an elevationist. Now, these protesters, they're a big deal because they're interrupting town halls all over the country for GOP lawmakers who are coming back to town, senators and congressmen. Our own Congressman Doug Lamborn had a town hall at, I think it was the police department, Stetson Hills Police Department, earlier in the week. And there was audio of that. The organized protesters went in there. And I talked about this on my show about 2 months ago. There was an undercover audio from one of these organized groups where they talked specifically about going to the GOP town halls and railing against the repeal of Obamacare. But their tactics are to, quote unquote, dress conservative, and especially to dress like a conservative mom, and to disperse within the event so that they're not all huddled together in one place like they were yesterday, and to be as disruptive as they can without actually getting themselves kicked out. And it looks like that's what they did at Congressman Lamborn's event on, I think it was Wednesday. And something needs to be done. I'm not sure what the answer is. Something needs to be done. They can't be disruptive. They can't go and yell. And when they parallel themselves with the Tea Party, there's no comparison. None of the folks in the Tea Party were like that. We asked tough questions, to be sure, but we never drowned anyone out, and we never tried to stop opening prayers or pledges of allegiance. But here's one I wanted to focus on with a little different. We're going to walk over and look at it from a different angle. Colorado's Mike Kaufman, he's a Republican congressman. He came back to town, and he had a town hall. And this, I'm going to tell you, this is from Politico, so it's going to be slanted a little bit left. But some of it is worth pulling out. They're saying that all the questions that were asked were about half of them were about Obamacare, and none of them were in favor of his support of Trump care. So let me take you back a few weeks. 3 weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, President Trump put an unnecessary and fake, I call it a fake deadline, on the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. And the House GOP establishment hid away and created an amendment to Obamacare. And you heard me ranting about that. No way. This is not a repeal. They were amending it, and they weren't doing anything to change the actual outcome. Everything they were doing would still lead to single payer eventually. I was totally opposed to it, and the conservatives in the House were opposed to it. And it ended up just not getting voted upon. But we found out who was going to support that bill, and Representative Mike Kaufman decided to go ahead and back this bill. So he's not someone I support based on that. And I've been saying that any Republican who does not support a complete and outright repeal of Obamacare, not repeal and replace, not amend Obamacare, not Trump care, not Ryan care, just get rid of it and then start over. They are putting the GOP majority in jeopardy. And this article makes that point because Representative Mike Kaufman came back to do a town hall, and he made the mistake of supporting Trump care, Ryan care, whatever you want to call it. And it didn't go to a vote. But his town hall was clearly filled with these organized protesters on the left. And based on the article, it looks like Kaufman got very uncomfortable with it and backed down and talked about how he was trying to find common ground. Apparently, he talked about his membership with the No Labels Caucus, which is a bipartisan group that wants to work across the aisle with Dems and Republicans. And he's reassured the group, saying he would protect pre-existing conditions. And basically, I wasn't there, but based on what the article said, he was not comfortable with these leftist protesters and was trying to, in some ways, accommodate them. And honestly, they don't care that he was going to support the Trump care bill. They just want to pressure him into doing nothing and to leaving Obamacare in place. And my take on that is, if these guys would do what's right, if they would stand by their original message, repeal Obamacare, period, repeal it, go up there and fight to get rid of this beastly bill that's going to destroy us economically and destroy our Constitution and bring us to a place of single payer, which is just a disaster for the quality of health care. If they don't have the guts to do what we elected them to do, pretty much on a mandate vote, get rid of this beast, they're not going to get support from the likes of me and my friends. We're, you know, they have an option of coming back and either being a hero or just being a milquetoast, squishy centrist who doesn't do anything good for the constitutional cause. So my take on this town hall with Representative Kaufman is, had he done the right thing, sure, there would still be the leftist protesters there, but he probably would be hailed as a hero, and people like me would be there to support him and say, you know what, don't let those guys bug you. You're doing the right thing. I bet you he's not hearing that, though. I really, really doubt that. And he's being targeted as one of the swing districts for the 2018 midterm elections. So as Senator Cruz warned, and as I've been warning, these guys who are these Republicans who campaigned on repeal and who are afraid to actually repeal it now are putting our majority at stake. And that's a travesty, because this is our chance to do what's right and get rid of that beast, and it's not happening. And this has got to change quickly. I don't know when this is going to come back up. It's anyone's guess when it's going to come back up. The longer it goes on, the less the chance of these guys actually repealing Obamacare as we put them in office to do. It's not something we can allow to happen, my friends, but unfortunately, these guys are letting it happen. I want you to hear a little bit more from President Trump, his Friday Easter address. I think we're on clip 4, Jason. And I want you to hear what he said about Palm Sunday. This is very encouraging because Christians were murdered on Palm Sunday a week ago, and Trump's not going to let it fly.
On Palm Sunday, as Christians around the world celebrate the beginning of Holy Week, ISIS murdered at least 45 people and injured over 100 others at two Christian churches in Egypt. We condemn this barbaric attack. We mourn for those who lost loved ones, and we pray for the strength and wisdom to achieve a better tomorrow, one where good people of all faiths, Christians and Muslims and Jewish and Hindu, can follow their hearts and worship according to their conscience.
And clip 6. Do we have time for that one?
As long as we have faith in each other and trust in God, we will succeed. Thank you. Have a happy Easter, a happy Passover. God bless you, and God bless America.
All right. Precious words from a president that we haven't heard in forever. I really do hope that you and yours had a very blessed and happy Easter today. I hope that you've had opportunity to reflect on the hope that's been gifted to us through this remarkable day. Most best day on the planet ever is how I see it. And I hope that you've just had time to reflect on that joy, because the days ahead may not be so easy, and we always have that hope that death will not take us. Happy Easter. I will talk to you next Sunday at 9, and I'm signing off. Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR.